Well, good morning and welcome to all, especially our guests who join us here today for the Sunday Mass on this Labor Day weekend. I'm glad that you're here. You're always invited to be with us in the future. My thanks to the generosity and the hospitality showed to Father Joe last Sunday and the collection that was taken up to support the work of the Palatine fathers and brothers working primarily in India. Please know that our parish office is going to be closed tomorrow for observing the national holiday of Labor Day. One of our longtime parishioners, Bob Funk, died this last week at the age of 90. He and his family have been very much involved at the Madeleine for many decades. And so he will be deeply missed. There'll be a rosary for him tomorrow night at 7 p.m. And also his funeral mass will be on Tuesday morning at 10 a.m., both here at the Madeleine. So we can continue to pray for his family in this moment of this consolation, this time of grief. Condolences especially to his members of his family, his children, grandchildren, and son-in-laws who are here this morning. As we pray also that his soul be at rest in the peace of Christ. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let perpetual light shine upon him. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful departed, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. We have a busy week ahead of us here at the Madeleine. We'll be having confessions on Tuesday evening from 6 to 7 and also on Wednesday from 5:30 to 6. We begin the Rite of Christian Initiation of Adults in Inquiry session this coming Wednesday at 7. We're going to have someone speak about that in more detail here in a few moments. We also begin our monthly speaker series. We're calling it Theology Uncorked. Thursday night, beginning at 6:30, we'll be concluding at 8. If you don't drink wine, because we have a little bit of wine tasting ahead of time, come anyway. We also have child care is going to be provided in the nursery, so we invite people to come. And Bishop Slattery will be our first speaker. He'll be speaking about his vocation as priest and bishop. We have a great turnout so far, and we've always got room for more. We also have our religious formation for our children and youth beginning next Sunday, and we have registration for that after Mass. Also, we're going to invite the parents of our children and youth that are in our Sunday morning classes to come next Sunday after the 10 o'clock Mass to a gathering. We're going to be doing this once a month. While the children and youth are in formation, we're going to offer some formation for their parents as well. Both of these things, parent gathering and the theology and cork, along with the First Friday adoration that we have begun and also the rosary before Mass. These are some things we're implementing that are coming out of the listening sessions we've had in recent months. Now, for our guests, I have to say beforehand, welcome back to our choir. So, good to see you this morning. For our guests, last summer I was in Spain on pilgrimage, on part of the Camino de Santiago, the Way of St. James. I did a pilgrimage walk to the city of Santiago de Compostela. I was in the country for almost 3 weeks. And while I was there, there were two major news events going on. The first was the installation of a new king. The King Juan Carlos abdicated, and his son, Prince Felipe, Spain is a constitutional monarchy, he became king, and it was big news, and he went to address Parliament for the first time, along with his wife, Queen Latifah, her actual name, and also their two daughters, the ages of 8 and 10, who you could tell were very well trained on how to act in public as princesses. Also, they were about as adorable as they come. One of them, the younger one, had a little gap between her teeth. And if one of them had stood there and had kind of twirled her hair a little bit in front of Parliament, I wouldn't have had a problem with it. I thought it would have been quite nice. The second major news event going on while I was there was about a woman named Olaya Oliveros, who, next to the new king and queen, was one of the most recognizable people in the country. She was a fashion model and an actress who had been on nearly every billboard and magazine cover in Spain. And she had made numerous commercials on television selling everything literally from cars to cornflakes. And she's on YouTube, by the way. You want to see some, like everybody else is on YouTube. Now, she was in the headlines. What put her in the headlines was not the usual fodder of celebrity news. No speculation about a new boyfriend, no update about the latest breakup, no bad behavior at the trendiest nightclubs, no hacking of inappropriate photos from her smartphone. Rather, the cause for her being in the news was that 4 years before, at the age of 32, in the prime of her career, Oviros had left what was seen to be an ideal life of fame and glamour to enter a convent. Now known as Sister Olea del Cide Maria, a mouthful in any language, and the member of a semi-cloistered order of St. Michael, she was speaking now publicly for the first time of her decision. That was the cause for her being in the headlines. She described in an interview that after visiting the shrine of Our Lady of Fatima in Portugal, she felt, in her words, an internal earthquake. Oviros had repeated visions of seeing herself dressed as a nun, which she first saw as being absurd, but that persisted to the point she finally had to act upon it. It was a transformational experience that led her to leave what many would consider a dream career. But of that career and why she left it, she said in an interview, "I grew tired of being a model of superficiality. I grew tired of a world of lies, appearances, falsities, hypocrisy, and deception, a society full of anti-values that exalts violence, adultery, drugs, alcohol, fighting, and a world that exalts riches, pleasures, sexual immorality, and fraud. I want to be a model that promotes the true dignity of women and not their being used for commercial purposes." How's that for a feminist manifesto? Okay. And that coming from a woman whose church is sometimes accused of oppressing women. Sounds as if Oliveros discovered where the true oppression of women actually lies. Oliveros had a transformational experience after pilgrimage to a sacred place, touched by grace and led to a new life. And in today's gospel tells us of another such experience, not of a famous model, but of a man who is deaf and mute, can't speak and can't hear. But once touched by Jesus, he is transformed by the experience. And a new life is offered and a new life is accepted. And in a nutshell, this is the mystery, this is the profound reality of the Christian proclamation. Maybe a little bit of backstory helps. The action of this miracle is taking place in an area known as the Decapolis. That's Greek for the 10 cities. It is a region in which the population is mostly non-Jewish. In the New Testament, they refer to it as the Gentiles. Another word that could be used to describe the people is pagan. The residents, including the most likely the man brought to Jesus, they don't know the story of salvation in what is what we now call the Old Testament. They don't know about Moses, the Exodus, the Ten Commandments, and so on. They have their own gods, their own beliefs, and in that way, the healing of this man is not unlike our own culture today, in which the story of salvation in both the Old and New Testament has largely been forgotten, or at best misunderstood. People have their own beliefs, their own gods that they worship, with a small case g, many of them, probably those false gods of those anti-values that Oliveros describes, even if people don't realize that's what they're worshiping. As with many of Jesus' healings, there are many things happening on many levels. First, there's the physical, miraculous healing. The senses of hearing and speech are cured. The impediment is taken away. But the healing is also a profound sign of the transformative, life-changing experience of being touched by Jesus. It is an example of what it means to be evangelized. And today, you know, we hear a lot about that in the church today, about the new evangelization. And I think this event in the gospel today is a good guide for us. this touch of Jesus takes on a form that, well, sounds a bit strange to us today. You know, if I went to the doctor and he put his finger in my ears and spit on my tongue, I might be wondering, how much is my copay for this? Where is this going to show up on the bill? But it appears that this kind of thing was common in the time of Jesus. There is the touching of the ears and the tongue, the looking up to heaven, and the crying out of the words, be open. And in Mark's gospel, it preserves the word, the original Aramaic, Jesus' language that he spoke of Ephrathah, be opened. The result is an internal earthquake, the type of overos experience. Not only is the physical impediments to hearing and speech removed from the man, so is also the impediment of the heart. There are those impediments that keep us from hearing the Word made flesh, Jesus. The impediments that of speaking the Word made flesh, Jesus, to others. It is the formative experience, which also appears in today's reading from the book of the prophet Isaiah. The transformation not only of the heart, but of the face of the earth itself. And sometimes that comes all at once. Other times it's milestone moments of life, but I think most often it's in the step-by-step, day-by-day of seeking out to live a life of faith, a life as a disciple of Jesus. It's no accident that this touch of Jesus to restore hearing and speech of this man, which brings about his conversion, this is incorporated directly into the rite of baptism. When someone is baptized in our church, part of what goes on is that the priest or deacon who does the baptizing blesses the person's ears and lips, saying, may the Lord soon touch your ears to receive his word and your mouth to proclaim his faith to the praise and glory of God the Father. The transformative grace, first given in baptism, has become the pattern of our life of faith. We see this particularly in the grace of the sacrament of reconciliation. Transformed by contrition, repentance, and confession and absolution, we're touched by Jesus. The impediments of sin are removed. We see this in the grace of the Eucharist, in which the Word made flesh gives himself to us in order that we may be transformed into his life. But grace works when, how, and where grace works. Often in unexpected situations, as it did for Overos, leading her into a new life. To be touched by Jesus in any way is to be transformed, is to be evangelized. And there are many impediments of the heart today. As I said, we live in a culture that's largely forgotten the Christian message, unable to hear and to speak the Word made flesh. And as a church today, at least in our society, there are those same impediments. So the challenge for us today is to be opened. To be open to the good news. You know, as I've said before, on average, in our country this weekend, one Catholic out of four will be at a Sunday Mass. I don't think it's because they don't believe. I think for many, because they truly don't fully understand. That's the impediment. And that's why we're living at a time, I think, as in the history of our church, at least in the Western, in Western culture, that we have to relearn what it means to be touched by grace, who Jesus is, to relearn the need for conversion and transformation, what it means to be a Catholic, what it means to hear the Word made flesh clearly in order to speak the Word made flesh to others. And as a parish church, in these listening sessions that we've been having on these surveys and so on throughout the summer, we're seeing, I think, the need to be evangelized ourselves, to focus primarily on the opportunity for prayer, study, growing in generosity of time and attitude, on listening to the Word who is Jesus, and to ask where this grace is leading us. Then we'll be better able to speak the Word to others, being certain, as St. James the Apostle tells us, that we make no distinctions between people, We're to speak the word to all persons, regardless of their wealth or poverty, their social status, their political beliefs, their race, their language, or lifestyle. We are to be evangelized, touched by Jesus, experience his gift of grace in order to share it with others, to be transformed in order to transform the world.